As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight, it's Mark Schindler. Mark, is there any good Thanksgiving food?
I'm a pass on that one. I will say turkey's bad, but there's a lot of really good stuff going on at Thanksgiving.
Okay. Let's start with maybe one of the weirder games of the season. We have Minnesota defeating the Miami Heat, 105-101. The Heat were missing Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent. Oladipo's been out for a while. I credit the Heat for hanging into this game because this was a game that really it felt like, looking at it on paper, that the Wolves should have really taken care of business a lot earlier than they did.
Yeah, it was. You said weird game. Like, I mean, this was the funkiest game I've watched in a while. So Miami finishes with 22 fast break points, but they had 17 of them in, I think, the first 16 minutes of play. It looked like they were going to run Minnesota off the floor to start the game. Part of that was cold shooting from Minnesota early on, but also their transition defense was just abysmal, which has kind of been a thing all season. They picked it up, and honestly, like the third quarter, the Wolves went on a big run, ended up, I think, taking a 9-point lead before it started to even out, but they started to show some real things. Naz Reid was doing stuff out there. The bench unit was really fun. Jordan McLaughlin hit back-to-back threes after I think he's shooting below 20% on the season. Like they had the flashes of like the energetic, fun Wolves, and then it divulged into let's shoot a bunch of pull-ups out of really good process stuff. And then Miami ended up squandering like every opportunity they had down the stretch. Again, really, really weird game. Like Max Strus took 23 shots tonight, which,
yeah,
not that Strus is a bad player, but you don't exactly expect Helios Strus in a meaningful NBA game, but we got that tonight. And I think that's rather indicative of what the game was like.
Yeah. Another weird stat is Rudy Gobert finished with 4 points on 0 from 0 from the field. He hit 4 free throws. He's 4 of 4, but did not attempt a field goal. That has to be maybe the first time in his career. I mean, I need to look that up because that is just unusual.
At least in a start, yeah, it's got to be. Along with what I was mentioning, like I going back through in my head, I don't think that Anthony Edwards or D'Angelo Russell hit the roller with a pass in the second half, especially not Rudy. That's been a not to make this just the negative thing about the Wolves, but Rudy and Ant just continue to have like next to no chemistry offensively, right, as the season goes on. Like that's what we want to continue to see, and they're just, especially as the offense in the half court kind of went on in the fourth quarter, it was an adventure to watch, man.
Yeah. It just felt weird. You didn't come away feeling great about them. I almost felt better about Miami coming out of this one. Like, okay, like Miami still has some gusto here to hang with these guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it was funny because what sparked the run was Ant getting a tech. So Ant gets a tech. they go on this massive run, and then part of what sparked the run, I mean, sparked the end of the run, was Cat getting his own tech, and kind of carrying on a little bit too much with that, and that just, and you know, it was one of those things where it's like, this team is still, it's not as reductive as saying just finding the right energy, but I mean, legitimately, they've had issues with finding their what the energy that they need to play with on court, and I think that was something that they toyed with tonight that ended up backfiring a little bit. So again, this team just continues to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I guess they're getting boos in Minnesota, and Gobert had something to say about it afterwards. He said, "I just don't appreciate people that come in to boo your team. When you're a fan, you got to support your team in the tough or the good moments. There's no team in NBA history that only had good moments. So if you're not going to support us in the tough moments, just stay home. I think if you're going to embrace us in the tough moments, then come, and then we're going to love the support." Very interesting take from Rudy Gobert on how to be a fan in the wow. NBA. Let's move on to LA, where the Clippers silenced the Jazz 121-114. Mark, this game was just up and down all around. It was everywhere. The Clippers led by as many as 17 in the first half. You kind of thought, okay, wow, like the Clippers came to play. Kawhi Leonard was playing in this game, didn't have just a massive impact, but it was really coming from their guard play. And then the Jazz just turned it on, and they just played outstanding defense. They're rebounding the ball really well. They're making really great reads and really hitting shots out there. I mean, it was just really impressive. And then the Clippers fight back, and then they ended up grabbing momentum in this game toward the end. Nick Batum was just all over the place toward the end of this game, you know, with steals and just I love the way that he played. But Mark, thoughts on the Clippers as they get their third in a row?
Yeah, with the Clippers, one of the biggest things has been Norman Powell kind of finding his way again. He was absolutely massive tonight, coming off of a 26-point game against the Spurs as well. He scored in double figures in every game but one since the 7th of November, which is an extremely random stat, but worth noting. Like, he's really starting to find a stride, which has been important for them because he was off to a pretty wayward start this year. Reggie Jackson was awesome tonight. John Wall, what he brought with his change of pace off the bench was huge. They really did a tremendous job in just forcing turnovers early. I think you could really see how much the Jazz lacked Mike Conley in the first half when they coughed up quite a few turnovers in that first quarter, went down big. But then, man, Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson were awesome tonight. Like, I think one of the bigger things here is just like that it's not as simple as shot profile. Like, I think, you know, Malik Beasley had a rough shooting night, which you don't always, I mean, you're going to get nights like those from guys who are taking 10 threes a game. But I just keep coming back to Jordan Clarkson is just, he's trying everything. Like, he's always had that verve and kind of wackiness to his game in a good way. But he's just kind of doing everything and showed out tonight, 26-4. And Lowry, I just keep expecting every night for it to stop, for him to just, like, you know, not be that player. But the assertiveness is just different. To me, I think the biggest thing is just his control inside the arc is so different. Because I used to feel like whenever he played, it never felt like he was a big or like really a forward. It always felt like he was a wing who was struggling to play through or fight through contact. And now it just, like, he feels like a 7-footer on the court now. And I think that's the biggest difference that I continually see from him. And he had awesome moments, even defensively. He guarded Kawhi Leonard, you know, as well as you can, noting that he's coming back from injury still. But really big game for the Clippers as they try and, I mean, the West is looking more and more wide open, which is kind of wild to say. I just saw a tweet, like, the Lakers are technically, I think, only 4.5 games out of the one seed, which is insane.
Everybody's got a ton of losses right now.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The Knicks beat the Thunder in OKC 129-119. Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett combined for 84 points as they control this game from start to finish. Jalen Brunson, man, was just an absolute monster in this game. He was hitting some of the toughest shots that I've seen from a guy his size against some pretty good defense. Big credit to him. The Pelicans smashed the Warriors youngsters 129-83. Yikes! Brandon Ingram pours in 34 points as the Pels cruise to an easy one here. In Chicago, the Bulls light it up against the Celtics, led by DeMar DeRozan with 28, 8, and 4. Zach LaVine had 22, 5, 5, and 2 steals. Mark, what do we do with this Bulls squad?
I have no idea, man. It's funny. Ricky O'Donnell from over at SB Nation tweeted out tonight, like, you know, just you kind of just don't know what to take away from this team. Like last year, this was a team that really struggled with the top four teams in the East. And I think they have more wins against the top four teams in the East this season than they did last year. And I think obviously it's not fully indicative like that. They have good things, but it's just finding the right verve is going to be interesting because they had obviously very notably last week, they have like no energy. Like they ended up losing a game against Orlando. And then you come back and win this game. So I don't really know what to take away from them right now, to be honest.
Yeah. Billy Donovan's got a beard. I don't know. There's a lot of weird things going on in Chicago, but they look like they're at least back on track for one game against the Celtics tonight. The Bucks play really well against the Blazers, defeat them 119-111. Giannis, just a monster in this game, 37-7-6, shooting a blistering 66.7% from the field, but still struggling from the line. Only 5 of 12 from the free throw line. Still working on those, hopefully not pushing over any more ladders tonight. In Cleveland, the Cavs take care of business against the Hawks, 114-102. Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell combined for 55 points as the duo continues to get their footing. And finally, the Indiana Pacers continue to speed their way toward a play-in/playoff berth as they improve to 10-6, beating the Magic 123-102. Player of the week in the Eastern Conference, Tyrese Haliburton with 18 points and 14 assists. And off the bench, rookie sensation Ben Mathurin delivers 22 points and got to the free throw line for 10 shots in this game. Mark, what do we do with this Pacers team?
That's the fourth seeded Indiana Pacers for you, man. Home court advantage, Indiana Pacers. Fun fact for you. The two current longest winning streaks in the NBA are the Indiana Pacers at 5 games and the Sacramento Kings at 6 games.
So wow.
That's
wow. Both right. Have a player of the week on their team.
Exactly.
As well.
I have no idea what to do about this. I think that as the season starts to wear on, this is gonna wear off. But I'm pretty comfortable saying this is a top 10 offense. Like they're seventh in offense right now, and it feels like that's gonna carry on, like the way that they're playing. How well Tyrese and Benedict are playing, how well Buddy Hield is playing. I mean, I don't know what to make of that or if that's a good or bad thing, but, you know, we'll see as the season goes on.
Yeah, Mathurin is just out the gate, a pretty special rookie in that he can get to his spots. Getting to the free throw line as much as he has this season, that's really rare for a rookie that... he doesn't have the ball in his hands all the time. Like, the guys that do that are the guys that have the ball in their hands all the time. Like, he just knows how to play the game. I just continue to be just fully impressed with this guy.
Yeah, me too.
That's going to do it for today's show. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.